You're listening to the Fanboy Garage Podcast.
And welcome to the Fanboy Garage. I'm Chris Lasanti, joined by my co-hosts, Vanana.
Hi, hi, hi.
And Aaron Varola.
Yo, what's up, folks? Welcome to another episode of the Fanboy Garage. Great to have you guys with us for another week. Episode 117. Damn, getting up there. Not much really going on in the entertainment world. I mean, there's some movement on the theater side. We've got some great questions from some of our fans. Some rumors are speculating about the Spider-Verse, but we will start with theaters.
New York made a surprise announcement at the end of, I guess, last week that they will be opening theaters, not in New York City, but in basically the rest of New York State at the end of this coming week. Well, the week that you're listening to this episode. And surprisingly enough, so it's October 23rd will be the opening for theaters outside of New York City, 25% capacity, up to a maximum of 50 people per screen. And, of course, mandatory social distancing and all that. But what's interesting is that concessions will be served, will be allowed to be offered, and masks are required at all times except when seated and eating or drinking, which means they're not requiring you to sit there with a mask on during the entire film. So those are actually bigger surprises, beside the fact that we hadn't heard anything about theaters in New York opening at all, and then all of a sudden, here's this announcement. But the fact that they're going to allow concessions and they're going to allow people to not have to wear masks in the auditorium while seated, that's also a big surprise. And the theaters are going to have to increase their staff to, you know, I guess, which is one of those other things that we were talking about, right? To limit, I guess, lines and, you know, things like that. And, of course, they're going to have to meet enhanced air filtration and purification standards and all that fun stuff. So there's a really good article in Deadline, actually, right now, talking about this. Theater owners clearly, like, is ecstatic about this, right? Just because it came as a surprise and they really like desperately needed it. And the belief is that, you know, eventually New York City, if all goes well, will probably follow along, you know, maybe within a couple of weeks, right, to a month. But it's looking like those theaters maybe in New York, all of New York, will be open in time for Christmas, right, which is the launch of Wonder Woman 84. So these are all positive signs and just another indicator that, you know, maybe we're starting to get there. And next year, you know, hopefully we know is a busy, you know, season as far as movies and whatnot. And, you know, right now, apparently they're going to be re-releasing the Addams Family. I would assume it's the animated one that came out.
That movie sucks.
But I don't know that for a fact. But like things like that.
That
so
movie
they,
sucks so bad.
Does it?
Well, that's gonna be nice just in time for Halloween.
Sure,
though, if
they're
opening on the 23rd, that's gonna be a good Halloween movie going thing.
Put like a legit Halloween movie out there.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right.
And Tenet is gonna be close. These now it's gonna be the interesting thing is to see now.
Hold the phone.
Does Tenet get a spike from this because it's gonna be a featured movie in these New York theaters? So it's interesting to see what those numbers are like. I mean, right now it's sitting at about 50 million domestic and about 335 million or so worldwide. And it did, you know, so we'll see. Be curious to see what the numbers are. I think that's the story for next week is really what does Tenet do in New York theaters opening weekend? Even though New York City is not open, I mean, realistically, you could drive, you know, 10 minutes out of your way to go to Long Island or to go to North Jersey, you know, or to go to, you know, Westchester, places like that. Even if you do live in New York City to go to see a movie, if it's something you absolutely have to do. So
right.
It's right. Yeah. So that's going to be, I guess, something to follow. And
I know the theater chains were earlier in the week, early last week when you guys are listening to this, were throwing such a stink because there literally was like no answer. Just a big old question mark of when they would be able to open. So I'm glad the governor and all of his merry men and women made this a thing. And it's exciting. It's a little scary. It's still a little scary. The whole no mask thing. I'm glad that they are testing air filtration systems and whatnot. But my wife is a New York City school teacher. And I can tell you that the testing of of air purification or air systems is like not all that. So I'm not holding my breath, and I will be holding my breath if I were to go to the theater.
You don't want to be the guinea pig. We know.
No.
Well, you know, I wonder, we also had news this week that AMC theaters, and I talked about this a couple weeks here in Texas where I am currently, but AMC theaters are also letting customers rent out auditoriums for private screenings at just like $99. And you can bring in, I think, up to 20 people, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's $99 for up to 20 people, but apparently for certain films, it could go up to $350. And then if you want to include like food and beverage, or if you want to have like a microphone, they said you could, it's like $100 to rent a microphone. Yeah. If you want to like, you know, welcome your guests. Yeah, I guess, you know.
What's wrong? People ain't got voices?
Yeah.
So maybe.
I don't know. Like, for me, for $99, I'll tell you this right now. If Wonder Woman 84 came out and I could rent out an entire auditorium for myself for $99, I'd be all over that.
Now, maybe we'll do like the Fanboy Garage watch party.
Aaron sits on one side of the theater. I sit on the other side of the theater. We split the cost. However, something tells me that Wonder Woman 84 will not cost just $99 to rent an entire auditorium. So wishful thinking, but I would jump at that opportunity.
Yeah. It seems like the fact that they're also letting people rent out a microphone for an extra $100 kind of signals to me that they're targeting not like a family, you know, that wants to be safe and has the money to rent out a theater, but maybe for like screenings or like people in the film industry that really didn't get a chance to go to an actual live, you know, film festival this year, or people that have films like on the back burner, they all had to do it virtually. And that seems like a good price for just getting like 20 people inside, maybe like a cast and crew or like a small industry screening of your film to like pitch it.
It's like 20 people.
Parties, you know, if you want to do a birthday party, something like that. Because if you look at the movies right now, that there's a specific group of movies right now that you can rent the theater for. So you go to like their website and you pick the movie you want and you pick the date and whatever, and then they get back to you. Movies. Well, they're not all kids movies, but like there are many, like How to Train Your Dragon, for instance, which is clearly not a new film. So things like that. Of course, you could also rent out New Mutants if you want.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
No. People didn't want to pay whatever, $12 or whatever it was to go see it, let alone rent out a theater to go see it. But So these are ways that theaters are going to have to get creative to try and make up some lost revenue. But it is good news that they'll at least start to reopen. And you know, it may be coming just in time for them because we're starting to see a lot of indicators right now that that say that the future of movie viewing in theaters, you know, we may be looking at a fast track move away from theaters, right? Mm-hmm. So before we get into that, though, let's we do want to mention Ron Diesel's question that he had for us because it relates to Wonder Woman 84 in movie theaters. And he basically wants to know, and I think we already know what Aaron's answer is going to be for this question. But he basically says, let's say for argument's sake, by November theaters are open and Wonder Woman 84 is still scheduled to show in December. are we going to see the film in theaters or going to wait till it comes on VOD? Or he says renting out a theater, maybe. So I've already spoken my piece on renting out a theater. If it was reasonable and there were a couple people that wanted to do it with me, I would probably be all over that. Although something tells me that if, like I said before, if theaters have waited all of this time to finally make some money, they're going to want to pack as many people as they legally can for like their regular admission price at one time, right? They're not going to, they want their $18 to $20 or whatever it is per person, I would think, especially at limited capacity for a movie like that, as opposed to having, you know, a couple people paying a flat rate for an entire theater. I think I'm at the point now where I can safely say that, yes, I would probably go to the theater to see Wonder Woman 84, assuming that the theaters, which, again, they will be open some way, shape, or form. It may not be the theater in my neighborhood, but it may be a theater that I could get to in a reasonable amount of time. But, yeah, I would go see it. You know, I tend to go to the movies, like, early on, like, a Sunday morning or, like, a Saturday morning, which is not a very busy time anyway, you know, even for big movies, because I don't really want to ideally be in, like, a huge crowd, regardless of the time of year or the time of that we're in society. But yeah, I mean, look, I've been going into the city every day and, you know, on a train and taking public transportation and been in things like situations like that, been in an office. So for me, sitting in a theater that's hopefully not going to be very packed isn't really that scary a concept. And this is a movie that I really do want to see. I don't really want to wait for it. I don't want to wait for it on VOD. If I could get it in my home opening weekend on VOD, I would certainly do that before I go to the theater. But I'm probably a yes right now.
Cool. You just wear your face shield. That's not going to add to a good movie going experience, I don't think.
No, no.
Well, I think my answer is going to depend on where I am. If I'm still here, it depends if I have anyone to go see it with me. I don't know if I would go by myself. I know my boyfriend is definitely – he's with Aaron, you know, like no theaters. I can wait. He's with you, Chris, on like anything's on video on demand. I'm there. I have stuff to binge on Netflix. So he's definitely not going to go with me, which means I would have to go by myself. And that requires me driving by myself. And I'm scared to drive. So I might have to wait until I get back in New York and I'm around my friends.
Mm.
Sadly.
Yeah.
I'll go with you guys.
So for me, right now, let's have a fucking no. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm not going. I can't go right now. I am realizing that as time goes on, I have got PTSD. Like, this thing messed me up in the head. So, yeah, I can't, and if I feel like so compelled to go, I would probably just go by myself. But like, I don't know if I'd enjoy it. Like I said before on many, many episodes, the moment somebody sneezes, the moment somebody coughs, now that I know that people don't have masks on, like I'd be like freaking out on the inside. So, and I'm not really a germaphobe like that, but.
Well, this year has turned us all into
germaphobes. I wouldn't want to take the risk for something like that.
The next movie Aaron's going to see in theaters is Avatar 4.
Seriously. Seriously. Yeah, I don't know. Nah, I don't care. I'm not there yet.
So you're going to wait to see Wonder Woman because Wonder Woman's not going to come out on video on demand.
No,
right?
It's not.
If they can help it, it's not going to. They're really staunch on we're going to release it in theaters. And who knows? Maybe they have an insider that knew that Cuomo was going to make, you know, this announcement. Who knows? Or maybe they were just doubling down and like betting on it, thinking like, you know, by December, something has to be open. You know, we've been closed since March, really. Right. So you would miss out, get the FOMO and everything. Everyone's going to be talking about it, and you're just going to be like, I'm going to wait.
Oh, look at you, Banana.
Including, by the way, including everyone else on this podcast.
Right.
Laying it off the stick. So look, here's the thing. Like, I've been going to the gym, which is indoors, and it's in Long Island, and I do the mask thing, which is brutal, by the way. Working out with a mask on is like, it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, that's
so bad. And I box, so like,
that's a terrible idea, by the way.
It's horrible.
Yeah, boxing with a mask on is poor. Yeah,
it's like by round three or four, I'm straight up waterboarding myself because I'm sweating into my mask and it's getting stuck to my face. It's the worst thing.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing that, like I would have to have serious reassurances because I know that my gym is all about maintaining, you know, the social distance requirements and all of that stuff. With a film like Wonder Woman 84, I just imagine lots of people there and like people throwing caution to the wind. So I would have to be like, I'd have to know 100%.
The thing is, though, you would kind of know, right?
What?
You would kind of know, though, right? So you could look up and see, like, like basically right before you're about to leave the house to go to the theater. You could basically see whether they're already like, because obviously they're going to still be limited capacity, right? Even then,
right.
Regardless.
The seating thing, right? Like
of course. It has to be reserved seating now, regardless of whether the theater's set up for it or not. They're going to have to be set up for it, but pretty much most theaters these days are. So you'll be able to look up right on, you know, Fandango or whatever app you use to the AMC app, whatever app you use to buy tickets to see basically, you know, where people are going to be sitting, right? And so you'll know. And if you're not comfortable with the way they've laid it out, like you could just, you know, get a refund on your tickets, like before you leave. So that, you know,
that's true.
Yeah. I mean, there's ways to look at it. I mean, let's just say for a second that New York by Christmas stays at 25% or maximum 50 people, whichever is the larger of the two numbers. You know, that's not, I mean, you know, you could find yourself like a small theater where like 25% capacity is not a lot of people. And, you know, and I think you could be fine with that, but we'll see. I mean, look, clearly we've seen a lot can change in 2 months or mm-hmm. even just over 2 months. So, you know, let's give it another, I'm going to give it to Thanksgiving just to see what things are like at that point. I would assume that New York, which has been the most cautious of all of the states in the country, they have to be looking at some indicators that give them some optimism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they made this announcement out of nowhere, and they're starting to make a series of announcements now, right? Like a couple other things have opened up. And so I think that they're feeling at least somewhat confident about the situation right now, or else they wouldn't have done it. And we're looking at California now. So California is doing it county by county. So it's up to the counties whether or not they want to open their theaters. And obviously Los Angeles County hasn't done it yet, but they're even looking there. I just saw a thing that said that there's some hope that Los Angeles County might open their theaters or start to open their theaters by next week or the week after. Yeah. Now, whether that happens or not, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, so there's some movement here. And, you know, if you we talked about Tenet and it's how it tried to time itself perfectly, right, to be like that first big movie that was out when all of the theaters opened, which wound up not happening. But Wonder Woman right now, if they're right, it's on a trajectory right now to really, I think, hit it big. Like, not that it wouldn't have anyway, but it's looking like there's going to be a decent, if not substantial amount of theaters, including in the two major markets, opened by Christmas Day. And when you factor in the fact that people haven't been really going to the movies and it's the holiday season and people are going to be looking for things to do, right? you know, there will be a lot of holiday events that probably won't be happening, right? Because of crowds and things like that. So people will probably be looking for things to do that weekend. I mean, Wonder Woman right now, I think, is in a prime position to benefit.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's going to look like that was perfect timing for them, I think.
That's true. I mean, you have right now indoor dining is open in New York, you know, and when people eat together, they don't have their masks on. People are talking, especially when they're eating.
Sure.
At least when you're in a movie,
no,
you know.
That's a little different, though.
How is that different?
No, it's a little, I mean, like the restaurants, at least the ones that I've been to that have done the eating thing, it's like
the eating thing.
The eating thing. It's so, they're very, very careful, like, how close people are, like, even outside stuff. It's very...
Well, yeah, so that's my point. Like, even in indoor dining, you know, you're sitting close to each other, you don't have your masks on, but you're talking, right? Like, you're constantly, like, you're eating, you're talking, you know, there's that exchange of whatever, aerosols or whatever, right? At least in a theater, everyone, you gotta be quiet, you can't talk. Because you're watching the movie. So I would think that if you're comfortable eating inside a restaurant, now some people are not, so that's fine. But if you're comfortable eating in a restaurant, then I think you should be comfortable sitting in a theater.
Yeah, you're also not face
for like 2 hours,
and you're also not face to face though, too, in the theater, right? With somebody like you would be in a restaurant. Now I would recommend.
Hey, I brunch for 2 hours.
Do you? Yeah.
Well, actually, my friends have brunched for like 6 hours today in New York, which makes me very jealous because they went from brunch. They went from brunch and they called me and they're having dinner right now. I'm like, how did you go from brunch to dinner? They're like, there's nothing to do.
Yeah, they're like, we literally just stayed with each other.
Exactly.
I might recommend, if you know, just to make things even easier, try to maybe get a ticket like along the back row of the theater. So now you don't even have to worry about somebody behind you. Well, the exit, but just to make sure that, because obviously nobody's going to be face to face. They better not be anyway, face to face with me in a theater. But now if you're in that back row, now you don't even have to worry about somebody being behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to stagger it like that. So someone like, wouldn't
obviously
necessarily be directly behind you, but
yeah.
Even in my gym, it's every other like boxing bag kind of thing, and you have your own square, your 6 foot square, which is bizarre, but it works for me. But it's funny because people kind of go into this like, hey, we're gonna quickly chat with each other after the class, and I'm like, F that, I'm out. Yeah, I'll see you guys. Bye. And literally like I'm out the back door. The moment the class is over, I, like, wipe down all my shit, and I'm like, all right, guys, I'll see you later, bye.
Yeah.
I'm out. They're like, oh, hey, okay, goodbye, Aaron.
Yeah.
How I roll.
Well.
It gives me an excuse to avoid the shit out of people.
By December 25th, so it's almost January, we still have a few months just to see how the October openings, you know, because if it gets crazy, then they might have to like say, okay, we take it back, you know, but if it doesn't and it goes well, then I think the December Wonder Woman movie is going to be such a nice Christmas present for everyone, or holiday present for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I'm kind of pumped up for it a little bit.
That's the other thing. I'm like, Christmas, I ain't going to see Wonder Woman on opening day.
No, I wouldn't go opening day. I wouldn't go on Christmas Day either, but I would probably go sometime that weekend. Christmas is a Friday this year, so you know, you got Saturday, Sunday. That's probably
Let's see how it all rolls out.
Yeah. One of the things that really ties into all this is that the fact that Disney really made what I think is a big announcement this week.
Yeah.
They basically said that their primary focus for entertainment right now is streaming. And they announced a major reorganization. So they're restructuring their media and entertainment divisions. And they're looking to accelerate their direct-to-consumer strategy And so they're centralizing their media business into a single organization that'll be responsible for content distribution, ad sales, and Disney Plus. So, I mean, obviously the pandemic has really crippled the theater business, as we were just discussing, and it's brought more people to video on demand, which, yeah, again, we've been saying all along, like, this was a great opportunity now for people to studios and content providers to really test this market. And some have, I think, more successfully than others really taken the opportunity. But I thought that the most interesting part of this was what the Disney CEO, Bob Chapek, said. He said, "I would say COVID accelerated the rate at which we made this transition, but this transition was going to happen anyway." So,
Of course, right?
I mean, we knew all along that this was something that we were building towards. And sure, if you do thing, if you did things the right way, COVID certainly has caused a lot of people to accelerate this way of thinking. And it just makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. I mean, this should be, I mean, obviously no surprise there. They launched Disney Plus, you know, a couple of months before the pandemic hit, and they had planned it, you know, years in advance of that. And the fact that they had already greenlit so many shows shows that they were demonstrates that they were ready and willing to kind of go head first into this whole thing. Obviously, with all of the content that they have at their disposal, you know, from Lucasfilm, from 20th Century Fox, from Marvel Studios, all of that, they can pick and choose when and where they want a piece of content to live, how it breathes, you know what I mean? How it breathes, stuff like that. They're in prime position. I think HBO and Warner Brothers is probably like right there as well.
Yep.
But you know, Disney is taking no prisoners.
No.
In this game. And I mean, we said it way back when we caught wind of Disney Plus, and it was going to be a game changer. And I think everything that the CEO said about the acceleration that COVID has had on this process and adoption is something that's really exciting. But it also is going to, I'm also very interested to see how the other studios kind of meet or match what Disney plans on doing.
Yeah, I don't know that they're all going to necessarily do it the way Disney's doing. I mean, Disney's in kind of a unique position, as is Warner Media, you know, because of all the content. And even, you know, Paramount, CBS, Viacom, like that conglomerate, those three entities, along with NBC Universal, so four entities, are all in a unique position where they own a lot of content. And I think that so they're all, I think, set up to succeed. I mean, some are clearly Disney Plus and HBO Max, to me, have so far done the best job. I mean, Peacock is a nice service and it was a good idea. But I mean, do you really hear a lot of people talking about it right now?
No.
I get emails saying, like, we miss you.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious. I'm like, oh, shit, that's right. I have Peacock.
Yeah. And because even CBS All Access, I mean, it's firing stuff up. I mean, I got to watch, you know, the new season of Star Trek Discovery, which started this past week, which is going to be really exciting. And there's a lot of Star Trek content on CBS All Access right now, and other shows like the new Twilight Zone and all of that stuff. So, and they're going to be doing The Stand, and I mean, there's really cool stuff going on a lot of these different services, and they're maximizing the potential there. But I mean, Disney right now, it's not just about Disney Plus. Also, they have 100 million paid subscribers across all of their streaming offerings, right? And more than half of those are Disney Plus, right? But I think it's about like 60 million worldwide so far. But I think that this, again, is another answer to the question that we have yet to get official word on, which is like, how well did Mulan do with that premium access? Because, I mean, clearly we're seeing a lot of things happening post Mulan's experiment that all point to the fact that it must have done really well.
Right.
Right. So I think that that's a really good sign. And, you know, you're talking about other studios. and what they might be doing. Well, Paramount, actually, here's an interesting thing, because it kind of takes a different angle with this whole situation. Paramount sold the distribution rights for Coming to America, which is the Coming to America sequel that's been in the works. They actually sold the distribution rights to Amazon Studios for about $125 million. And Amazon's going to premiere it on December 18th.
I didn't even know that thing was filmed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's done.
I have no interest in this movie.
I love the first one, so I definitely have interest.
Is it, I say that, but I have I know jack shit about it. Who's in it besides Eddie Murphy?
I think almost everyone is back, right?
Arsenio Hall?
I know what? James Earl Jones is back, and you can look
Arsenio
it up.
Arsenio Hall is back. Yeah. James Earl Jones, Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes? Who?
General Izzy.
Oh, boy. This is
Garcelle Beauvais. Leslie Jones is in it.
It's funny. This is one of those situations where nostalgia, like Bill and Ted, nostalgia starts to like pull on my heartstrings, and I know it's just not going to live up to those expectations.
Well, that's
like fine. Bill and Ted was fine, but I'm trying to think of a movie, and I know that there is one that I absolutely love, but I'm trying to think about what it is as I'm saying this, but I'm trying to think of a movie that came back like many years after, the sequel came many years after, and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Mad Max.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but that is a good option, but I wanted to say something quickly about Disney and going to streaming and kind of like tie it together with, you know, this Amazon thing that we're talking about. I think, you know, Disney is obviously they're front runners in their industry and their business. They must have people, you know, analyzing trends and whatnot. And I think before, like they said, before COVID even happened, this was already part of their business model, you know, that they were going ahead. Yeah. Just like how, you know, video killed the radio star and like all this kind of stuff, like streaming is killing, you know, the theater star, right? Mm-hmm. They just happened to walk into the COVID era without even knowing that it was coming, and then started doing experiments like with Mulan. And I think if they're going to be the front runners and go to streaming, other studios are going to be watching them, and they're going to help usher in this new era of streaming. And unfortunately, I think eventually theaters will just they'll start closing down, like we saw with like Blockbusters, you know, when Netflix came on and all that kind of stuff. Like eventually, maybe 5 years down the road, maybe 10 years down the road, we're going to see theaters closing up. And then later on, we might see a revival of like, you know, little like indie theaters and stuff. It kind of goes with the technological evolution of technology. Don't you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's even bigger than just the end of theaters. I mean, we've been talking about this for almost since like, not quite the beginning of this show, but for a while anyway, how like, you know, the future of television, I always felt was content providers, right? Not networks. Content providers bringing their content directly to the consumer and the viewer. And we're already seeing that, right? So that's a thing now. So I think that eventually we're a few years away from like not just like movie theaters being, I don't want to say a thing of the past, but it certainly the way we consume movies being very different, right? Whether it's still a hybrid model or whether theaters really do go the way of just like the small little theater in your neighborhood as like a niche thing. I do think we're going to see a radical change there, but it's also affecting television. I mean, eventually we're going to see these streaming services are going to be the way we consume our like entertainment as far as television and movies go. And it's not, you know, we're not going to have, it's not going to be really network driven. It's not going to be theater driven. It's going to be streaming service driven and app driven. And so it's, I mean, this is a big deal. And you know, but what's fascinating to me, though, about this coming to America thing, forget about what your thoughts are like on the movie and the concept, but Paramount sold the distribution rights of that movie to Amazon Studios for $125 million. Paramount could have put it on CBS All Access, which is their streaming service. But they probably figured there is no way that movie is going to generate $125 million worth of revenue for us on CBS All Access. So it clearly was a property that was worth more to Amazon than it was to Paramount. So Paramount said, hey, we'll pocket $125 million. The movie probably did not cost $125 million to make, so don't worry about it. Like, and we're not going to release it now.
They're stack of cash.
Yeah, we're not going to release it now in theaters anyway, obviously.
Right.
And, you know, like you mentioned before, Aaron, how much was that nostalgia going to, you know, really drive theater buys?
Right.
So studios now have to start getting creative. Like, not everything is going to be theater worthy. And not everything is even going to be worth just throwing up on your own streaming service. So now they're they're in the distribute, you know, so they're distributors too. So you have content providers that are also functioning as distributors. So like we're seeing things like where, you know, streaming services are competing for content, right? That should actually in theory be on a different streaming service. Right. So like, we're, you know, like some things that don't necessarily, like, why is Dick Tracy on HBO Max and not Disney Plus?
Right.
Right. Well, because there were rights issues and things
Harry
like
Potter.
That. Yeah.
Harry Potter was on HBO Max for a hot second.
Yeah.
And now it's on Peacock.
Right. And because there's rights fees and rights contracts and stuff like that and agreements. So this content is still available for sale. Like there, and this is another way that these studios in the distributor role are going to maximize their revenues and the income for these properties. These properties have a value, and the value goes beyond just what it could mean for your streaming service. And that's where these huge conglomerates start to, you're starting to really see things shift. And you know, now you got things like Amazon and Netflix are in a position where the existence of these streaming services, CBS All Access and Peacock and more importantly Disney Plus and HBO Max, they're putting pressure on Netflix and Amazon because they have to keep up. Because they have their own studios, but they don't have those studios don't have the cachet that these major film and television studios have. Right. So they're also in a position where they're now going to be paying competitors hundreds of millions of dollars to get their content because they need content themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's a crazy thing that's going on right now. I mean, there was a bidding war for The Office and, a bidding war for Friends. I mean, HBO Max won a bidding war for Friends. You would have thought like that would have been an easy one for Peacock. Right. But no, I mean, it went to a bidding war and Warner Media paid the most money for it because it was like the most popular thing on Netflix and Netflix lost it. So this is the other thing now that you're going to start to see the other effect of this. And I mean, so, it may not be great for consumers necessarily because, but maybe it will be okay because maybe then you could bounce around on your streaming services depending on what content they have that month.
Yeah.
You're not locked into one. You can kind of go back and forth. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. Going back to coming to America two or whatever.
Coming to America, the number two.
Is it coming to America?
It's coming to, the number America.
Oh,
instead of T-O, yeah.
Yeah, the fact that you said that that they knew that it was going to make that much money, now I'm just kind of like, it might be a dud.
I mean, I don't know that they don't think it was going to make a lot of money, but clearly they felt that in,
I mean,
I don't think it's, in this climate, I don't think it's unfair to say that take the $125 million and go.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They know what they have. I mean, they know in the hierarchy of things.
Was that the Will, was that the Will Smith? Wait, that wasn't Will Smith thing, right? I forgot. Was that what that was?
What are you talking about?
What Will Smith thing?
Eddie Murphy and Will Smith. Was that a thing? Am I making that up?
I don't know what you
Eddie Murphy and Will Smith.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought maybe they were like remaking a movie with Will Smith. I don't remember.
No.
Is that like the Fresh Prince of Bel Air?
No. I know what was going on with that one. I don't remember. Whatever. It is what it is. We'll see how it is. I mean, Eddie Murphy hasn't made a good movie in like forever.
Mm.
So yeah. We'll see.
So just I'm so not, here's I'm the impressed. Premise, Aaron. Because I know you're going to lose sleep over this. Set after the events of the first film, obviously.
No way. Yeah. Holy shit.
former prince.
Let's go.
Yeah, former Prince Akeem Jaffer is set to become king of Zamunda when he discovers that he has a son he never knew about in America. A street-savvy Queens native named Lavelle, honoring his royal father's dying wish to groom his son, to groom this son as the crown prince, Akeem and Semi set off to America once again.
Fail. No.
No fail. No fail.
I'm just wondering how he has a son in America that he didn't know, but does that mean he hooked up with one of those like crazy women that's from the bar saying. That night? Like the Joan of that's Arc woman or the twins maybe? Or, yeah. Like,
or the Arsenio Hall and drag? Or,
yeah, who wanted probably. To tear him up. Yeah, like what? Which one is the mother? This See, is interesting
this,
stuff.
This to me makes no sense.
Well, they had to come up with something. I mean, you know.
Goes back to America. Come on.
All right.
So, no, that's awesome.
Come
it's
on.
It's going to be funny.
So Aaron's a hard no.
No, no.
You don't think so? Who's directing?
It was just nobody that I've.
Craig
knew.
Brewer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's okay. look at filmography.
He did Hustle and Flow.
Mm.
he did Dolomite Is My Name.
Okay.
That was a great movie. Did you guys see that?
I did hear good things about that.
That was a great, great movie.
Yeah, I have to check that out.
And it stars Eddie Murphy. He was fantastic in it. Check it out.
But like Arsenio Hall.
Oh, and he also directed the 2011 remake of Footloose.
Oh, dude. Man, are you so much better than the first one? Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. Freaking coming to America. Get out of here with that nonsense.
Okay. So Aaron apparently just not going to watch movies anymore.
You know, it's like the return of the Terminator stuff, like that whole, like, where they just, it's a cash grab. Yeah. Well, I see right through it.
This is literally a cash grab.
This is what it is.
Paramount grabbed the cash.
Did anybody go, oh my God, we totally need a Coming to America sequel?
Yes.
No.
Nobody did.
like well, 40 years later.
Amazon said yeah and paid $125 million
I mean, I know.
Amazon loses $125 million in the couch when they get up every day, but like you know, still, that's
not money. Like I bet Amazon Prime is just like a nice to have while they're making the rest of your money rest of their money on like purchases.
Sure. You know,
Amazon.com. It's like not even a thing.
And speaking of Amazon, they also have the surprise Borat sequel coming out.
Yo,
this coming weekend.
Yes, next week.
That looks hilarious.
I'm excited for that.
Can I tell you a funny story? So I was in theater. It was one of those situations where, you know, we were so not the way that we are now, and I was laughing hysterical. In the theater, like crying, and I was sitting behind a homosexual couple, and they took offense to one of the jokes in the movie, mm-hmm. and I remember I was laughing hysterically, and they turned around and gave me the dirtiest look, like, and the dude said something like, "Bitch, you think that shit is funny?" And I was like, ah, damn.
Oh, man.
Clearly, I think this entire movie is funny. Like, I'm dying. Like, this is just, you know. Anyways.
I don't see a lot of comedies, even though I love comedy. It's one of my favorite genres of movie. Maybe my favorite, actually. But I don't see a lot of comedies in theaters, right? Especially now, like as an adult. But I saw Borat in the theater. And because I went with a group of people to see it. And one of the hardest laughs I've ever had in my life in a theater watching a movie was during that movie. To the point where I almost like embarrassed myself. Like that's how, and so yeah, I'm excited for that. That put a smile on my face seeing that trailer, and just the title of the movie is funny. And
The fact that they put him in the mankini and they're having they're having like the dudes hit the mallet with the I don't even know the name of the game. They're hitting him in the nuts with that. It's hilarious. It's good shit.
So, so another movie that's actually now announced is the Mad Max spinoff Furiosa, which is officially a go, starring Anya Taylor-Joy as the title character that was played by Charlize Theron in Mad Max Fury Road. Also, Chris Hemsworth and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II are going to be in this. Yeah, George Miller back to co-write and direct. So I guess that's exciting news. I mean, Mad Max Fury Road was kind of a revelation, right? It was really just stunning how great that movie was. Clearly this is, I guess, I don't know what's happening with a sequel to that, but I'll take this. That's fine.
Yeah, and they cast one of my favorite actresses, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yep.
Is she Australian?
No, is she?
She elfish?
Yes, you're the one that called her elfish. We talked about her a couple weeks ago.
She looks
like an elf. She's American, British, and Argentinian.
God, please.
Oh, interesting. She's really good. I'm happy she's going to be in it. And Chris Hemsworth, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. Would you say it that way? The second?
Yes.
Well, how else would you say it? Dose?
Two?
Dose.
The second. Yeah, the second. That's how you say it. Oh, guys. It's
El segundo.
El segundo.
Oh, man. I'm in this.
Aaron, that was a good movie that kind of came back years and years and years later.
Yes.
I think it was filmed years and years and years ago. I remember hearing about it maybe 5 years before it came on film. No, it was probably less than that. But it was like a significant period of time. Folks saying like, yo, George Miller worked on this new Mad Max movie and no one's going to see, like no one knows anything about it. And then all of a sudden it's like, here it is.
Yeah.
But it was like years later. I'm pretty sure it was like 3 years, 3 or 4 years after he had filmed it, it was released.
Well,
you know, good stuff, though. Like the practical effects and all that stuff, the real driving, the crazy stuff with people on sticks
flying around.
Like, that's a badass movie.
Yeah. And the making of it is fantastic as well.
Yeah.
It was literally a movie. I haven't seen a movie like that, maybe besides the last Mission Impossible movie, where it was just constant action. There wasn't a moment where it stopped. You were just on the edge of your seat the whole time.
Yeah.
So yeah. When is this? When are we gonna see it?
They're
2040.
It probably
pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
They're going to age her up to look like Charlize Theron.
All right, we'll watch it with Avatar 4.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. So, so that's that was some pretty good news there. And, I mean, what else did we have here?
Spider-Man. So, yeah. Those rumors.
Rumors out there that we're going to get a trailer in December. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of rumors, obviously, surrounding this film. Thanks to Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. That movie's been filmed? Like, that movie's filming?
Yeah, apparently.
I have no clue what's on, what's off. Like, This Is Us is coming back October 27th. I was like, what?
How? Yeah, a lot of shows are coming back, like, the end of October, early November.
I'm like, how is that a thing now?
Because don't forget, TV shows can start airing their episodes, like, and also continue to film. Which they can't do that, obviously, with a movie. So, you know, they do have that luxury.
Sorry, but, yeah, going back to Spider-Man. I don't want to get this, because I'll start crying. Yeah, and then there's the rumors about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield coming back.
Yes, so I had a friend...
Lighten that up.
Yes, I had a friend, Matt Thompson. He asked us today if we think that they're going to make an appearance in the movie, or who else do we think is going to make an appearance? Specifically, Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield. But Sony kind of said no.
Yeah, they put a kibosh on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Said it's not a thing, but who the hell believes anybody?
Yeah, I mean, they said all that those rumors are not confirmed. Okay, well, they're not denied either.
Right.
I mean, look, we've been down this road a million times. I mean, they're not going to announce something until it's announced. I mean, they can't. They're the studio.
Like Spider-Man was in the MCU, and then a week later,
exactly. So we're not going to... You know, there's a reason why they had Jamie Foxx pull down that post...
Right,
that he kind of jumped the gun in putting up, which alluded to the idea of multiple Spider-Men, fighting Electro. So, obviously, I think this is going to be one of those, like, worst-kept secret things. You know, to the point where it would almost become, like, a disappointment, I think, now, if it turns out that it's not the case. But...
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, what they're probably trying to avoid, because maybe things haven't been finalized yet. But I have a sneaking suspicion that it has been, you know, and that they can't say anything right now, which, you know, makes sense. I get it.
I think maybe if they are appearing in the movie, just so that it doesn't get too convoluted and pull us back into, you know, other iterations. Maybe they're just in it briefly. Maybe if they go back in time, you know, with Doctor Strange, like, takes them back to a particular time or something like that. Maybe we just see a little cameo or, like, a glimpse, especially if it's, like, Tobey Maguire, you know, who played Spider-Man so long ago.
Yeah.
Right?
He played Spider-Man.
Yeah, like, gosh, well, I don't know how he's aged, but he's going to look different.
The thing with Spider-Man, though, is that I think what people have to remember, too, is that, you know, Peter Parker does age, right? Like, Peter Parker doesn't stay like a little boy in the comics. I mean, he becomes a man at some point, and so I think it's okay if you...
The older Spider-Man?
Right, I mean, if these come from parallel universes or multiverses, whatever, that... You know, assuming that Tobey Maguire has stayed, well, he obviously is Peter Parker and has stayed Spider-Man in that multiverse, that he would have aged appropriately. You know, like, he would be whatever age he is now.
Still a little older.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue he looked a little old in Spider-Man to be playing what he was supposed to be, but whatever. You know, and the same with Andrew Garfield. You know, and the same thing's going to happen eventually with Tom Holland. You know, once... you know, if he continues to play the character for a little while. Sure.
I'm sorry.
You need sleep, Aaron.
I'm a mess tonight.
You are. Damn, what is happening?
I really am kind of on fire.
Yeah.
I really am. Yeah, I'll be honest. Like, I'm kind of done with the multiverse thing.
You didn't start yet.
No, but you know, no, but it did, because Into the Spider-Verse did it so well.
Okay, I get it, but
you know what I mean? And I just multiple Spider-Man again.
Oh, you mean specifically the Spider-Man multiverse thing?
Yeah, but I'm good with Miles, man. I'm good with the Spider-Gwen. I'm good with the Peter B. Parker. I'm good with all of what they.
Don't you want to see a live action Miles Morales, though?
No, I No, because the cartoon version, their animated version, is so good.
Well, but that's
like you have no idea. Into the Spider-Verse is flawless.
Sure.
Like I well up every time I see his leap of faith. Watched it last night, as a matter of fact.
But Batman the Animated Series to me is flawless. But it doesn't mean I never want to see another version of Batman. Like in the live action or anything ever again.
True.
You know what I mean? Like there's multiple versions of lots of things. I mean,
Well, so apparently, actually looking online now, they're filming in Sunnyside in Long Island City and Astoria this week.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that
well, that would be the neighborhood they should be in. So.
Yeah, we have no idea what the hell's going on in the world.
No, I actually did.
Apparently,
it's moving, and we're all stuck in stasis. It's like
like the news is telling us that like nothing is like open, and like we're screwed. But there's all these secret productions going on, and we're still gonna get our movies, and we're still gonna get our TV shows and content.
Like the world is over. We're all dying. It's over, and like movie studios are like, "Bitch, please."
Yeah, Spider-Man trailer in December. Yeah.
That's like the whole Wonder Woman thing. I'm like in our minds. Tell me, going back to Wonder Woman real quick. How many of the three of us? I'm sure we're 100% like it's getting moved.
No, I don't think it's getting moved now.
Well, what did I say last week? Because I don't even remember what day I'm in.
Sunday.
It's Sunday. No, I said I think it should be moved, but you know. Every week is a different news development. So now that the theaters are allowed to be open in New York again, outside of New York City, you know, that's kind of promising. They have 2 months to see if that works out for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And then next week it could be something else.
I don't think it's getting moved.
But they're filming Spider-Man in Queens, man.
They are. And based on what we've seen with what Matt Reeves was able to do with his, you know, trailer for the Batman, which is, you know, was like 25% of the film. Clearly, if you know what you do, I mean, it doesn't take much anymore to put together a really awesome trailer. So all they need is just a couple little teases and things like that, and they could certainly piece together a trailer by December. That, you know, who knows? Maybe it will let us in on some of these surprises, or maybe it will just be fairly vague and won't. I mean, it is a year. It will be a year before the movie is coming out. So I don't know how much they're going to give us. But then again, I mean, the Batman trailer.
All they need to do is give you, hi, I'm Peter. Hi, I'm Peter.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Peter too. And then that's it. Boom, done.
Exactly.
World over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
World See you over. Next year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. This is not kind of... I guess this is sort of related to the whole like streaming thing or whatever, but you know, it's, I was, rarely am I on social media these days, but I happened to notice, that our buddy Ron Diesel, he was, you know, asking some people about like, you know, how come certain movies, like when they do marathons and whatnot, like aren't on TV, like this time of the year, obviously it's Halloween season, right? So like the Halloween movies are all over television, and you know, talking about that, and how come like, you know, Halloween 2 or Halloween 3 are never included like in the marathon blocks on AMC, and also you know, movies like The Omen and stuff like that, like how come you don't really see them? And but it was, what was interesting about it was that he was referencing that he like he actually owns a lot of these movies, but was just wondering why they're not on television. And it got me thinking about something that I think about all the time, which is, you know, I do that. Like I own a lot of movies, like whether it be physical media or now these days, digital. Yet I tend to look for movies on television still. Like it's the weirdest thing. Like if a movie's on TV that I love,
streaming
hours? No, like if a movie is on TV that I really love, I will stop and watch it. But like, I rarely will actually seek out like a movie from my own collection to just like sit down and watch, which is like the weirdest thing. So it's like I could watch these movies anytime I want, but yet I get agitated if they're not actually on television, like included in like a marathon, or if, you know, like if I missed it or if it's like almost over. like things like that, which is, I don't know why that is, but apparently I'm not the only person that does that. So
I can't even tell you the last time I flipped a channel. Like my cable box.
Oh, I don't even have cable, but no, I guess you could still flip channels, but yeah.
Yeah, but my cable box stays on like NBC. That's it. Doesn't go anywhere else. And like if I have that urge to see a movie, like I just pull it up nowadays, right? Or I'll search for it and go, "Hey, I really feel like watching this movie."
Yeah.
Right? Like when I get into the mood, like I don't really like actively seek out stuff. Obviously with the Halloween, you know, being what it is, this time of year, you know, I'm into all the spooky shit. But I have to be careful because I got, you know, kids and whatnot. That's how I stumbled into the Addams Family. And then we're like, and then Jess and I, my wife, were like, "Oh, you should watch the real Addams Family." My daughter lost her mind when Fester came onto the screen.
When you say the real, you're talking about the movie with Raul Julia?
The movie, okay. Right. And she was livid. She couldn't, livid's the wrong expression. She was beside herself. She could not look at the screen.
Really?
He scared her so bad.
Aww.
I don't even know what it was about him. But she said the white-faced man. That's all she said. I cannot look at the white-faced man. And then the next two nights she had nightmares about the white-faced man. And literally we made it 15 minutes into the movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right.
I looked at her. I was like, "Dad, Addams Family? What? That did that to you? What the hell's wrong with you? Who are your parents?" Yeah. Shouldn't be scared of that shit. You should be scared of the garbage that you're watching. The Addams Family cartoon animated film. That's bullshit. That movie sucks. Horrible. Watching garbage come to life.
You are on a rampage. Seriously, on like hating so movies tonight.
You need to either sleep or go to a movie, I think.
Yeah.
One or the other. Maybe. Yeah.
So bad though. Anyways. But yeah, I you know, we own Casper. And so that was another one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, we watched Casper.
She watched Beetlejuice?
Well, are you kidding me? No.
That might be scary for her, too.
She's like, "No, there's no way I'm putting her in front of Beetlejuice." Like when he grabs his crotch and says, "Nice effing model."
That's true. I forgot about that. I forgot how, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
I rewound that over and over. And then one day I got smacked in the face because I turned around and looked at my mom and go, "Nice effing model." And I squeezed my junk.
Clearly, guys.
I'm just like, what the?
Clearly, I have no kids if I'm suggesting that. So I'm sorry.
Sure.
Smacked into like the next century for saying that.
Sorry. Have you introduced her to Night of the Living Dead yet? No.
No, oh my God.
Casper it is. Casper, yeah. The family ghost.
How about?
I've been pushing it a little bit with her. I'm like, let me think about a movie to introduce her to. I was like, The Never Ending Story is a little creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me push her in there. Never Ending Story goes, right? And I hear Artex dying. I'm in the kitchen. I'm like watching her. She's like, "Yeah, I see horses die all the time." Like, she's totally. Meanwhile, I'm tearing up in the kitchen. Like, "Atreyu, oh my God!" And my daughter's like, "Daddy, this is the funniest thing." She goes, "Daddy, the boy girl's horse died." I was like, "What? What the boy girl?" She's like, "That's a girl as a boy." I'm like, "No." I'm sorry, sweetie. That's just a little boy with long hair. She's like, "No, Daddy, that's a girl playing a boy."
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So did she get through the movie?
She freaking made it.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's like...
For some stuff.
I've been craving some Halloween movies, you know, just to get into the spirit of things this month. I don't know why I'm so into Halloween, but besides like Hocus Pocus, First of all, I don't watch scary movies, right? Like, I don't watch slasher movies. I don't like scary movies at all. So all of those classic Halloween movies are out of the question for me. Someone out there, Disney, okay, you need to make more movies that are kind of like kid friendly, you know, with like a Halloween theme. I'm missing those. I can't even think of like five movies off the top of my head like Hocus Pocus that you can watch that's kind of in that like spirit. There was like a Mary Kate and Ashley movie a long time ago.
Yo, Ernest Scared Stupid.
I never heard of that.
Okay. Well, you need to stop talking right now.
Okay.
Yeah, Ernest Scared Stupid is a good one. You should watch that. That's a fun one. I just had one. Oh, The Goosebumps, which is total trash, but that they're like in that realm where they're made for like teeny kids, whatever.
Yeah, I like those. I'm a teeny kid.
So you're talking about live action stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you could definitely watch.
Yeah, I mean, the Addams Family's fun, despite your daughter's like terror.
Oh, yeah, Addams Family's
like,
amazing.
Yeah, for like you know, an adult, it's yeah, really well done. Addams Family Values is actually even better.
You know what's funny? So you're like Jess said the same thing. Jess loves Addams Family Values, and I'm like, that's fine. First one to me is way better.
Yeah, but I mean,
she's
they're
all about Addams Family Values.
They're both really good. I mean, you could even like Ernest Scared Stupid actually is that's a good movie. But Ernest was very much a product of his time, though. I haven't seen it in a very long time, but
I was looking for it tonight.
I'm not sure how it translates now, but. I mean, you could even watch a movie like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not a traditional. I mean, the Monster Squad. I mean, there's some really cool,
Monster Squad.
Like, that are not, like, super scary, but you could watch them. They fit a Halloween theme. Even what I like, too, is I go back to the old Universal monster movies. I have a love of black and white films, and I love those movies for the most part. So I usually will watch a few of those. There's some that are better than others. Like The Bride of Frankenstein's is the best out of all of them. And then I watch like Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein. That's a must. It's one of my favorite movies.
I haven't seen that.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time. I watched like that whole Abbott and Costello Meets series where they were the Universal did the synergy. They started this Abbott and Costello Meets the Invisible Man, which is also great. The Mummy. You know, you watch a movie like Young Frankenstein, a classic.
Yeah, I feel like you have to go back, you know, to find them. And we just don't really have anything like current or like anything like Erin, your daughter, can say, you know, like nothing really recent that you can just constantly show her.
It's just in a different form.
Yeah, I guess.
Like she adores the Addams Family. She's watched it already like 6 times in the course of like a week. She just keeps on watching it over and over again. And to me, that's how the first like the live action Addams Family was for me. I used to watch that movie on repeat. You know, I could quote lines like right now from that film. And like she's getting, you know, that's what she's doing, you know.
Yeah.
With her movies, and it's not they're not good at all. She was watching Hotel Transylvania. That's one for her.
You know, Hotel Transylvania is not a bad movie, though.
Oh, that's good. I haven't seen the second one.
No,
but
there's three actually now, right?
I have not seen second or third. I think I'm just really nostalgic for my childhood. I don't know. Maybe it's a personal thing, guys.
Like, I mean, those are my fallbacks. Like, I'll watch stuff that I used to watch when I was a kid. You know, like, I watched Hocus Pocus. I watched Casper. I mean, I also watched a lot of darker shit, like Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff like that. But, you know, I'll get into some thrillers like What Lies Beneath. You ever see that movie with Harrison Ford?
Oh, that's such a good movie.
That's a great movie to watch.
That is such a good movie. I watched that movie really young in the theaters, I think, with my mom. And I remember those sex scenes, like the sexy stuff.
Yeah, you wish she was like, oh.
I like covered my own eyes.
That's some bonker shit. What was the other one? Oh, Death Becomes Her. That's a great movie. That's a great movie with Meryl Streep, Goldie Hawn, and Bruce Willis. That's a great
There's good ones. You just have to kind of go back.
Yeah.
Show that one to my
This year I'm finding that I think maybe it's more the time, just everything that happened this year, but like I'm not really a big slasher movie fan, even though the Halloween's one of my favorite movies of all time, and the Halloween series is something I'm a fan of, and I like the Nightmare on Elm Street movies as well, but like for some reason I don't associate that as much. Even I know this is going to sound weird, like the original Halloween, obviously I associated with Halloween just because it's the theme of the movie, but like just because a movie's scary, like I don't automatically associate it anymore with like Halloween. Like this year I've been in the mood more for like the older stuff, and I think it's just because I'm looking for like that comfort, like the old Universal monsters, you know, the Universal monster comedies, things like the Addams Family, stuff like that. Like that's been what I've been looking for this year, rather than like super scary movies or like ultra violent movies or anything like that. Like, and I just think it's where my mind is at right now. Like I want to see something that's more just entertaining and comforting.
Same.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. I mean, I'm thinking now, even if we had something that was more recent or closer, you really can't compare the style, you know, to when those movies were made back then. There is a certain nostalgia for that. And I'm with you, Chris. I'm feeling that so much. And I wish there was just a tab on Netflix or Amazon that I can go to that just has all of those movies in like a category and like a little list, you know, that someone curated. That would be really cool, but they don't have that.
Yeah. I mean,
you would think that would be a thing.
You know, we got into the second season of The Haunting, like it's the house, well The Haunting of Hill House, and now it's like The Haunting of Bly Manor.
How is that?
It's creepy.
My friend Bobby wants to know. She actually asked that question.
Oh, yeah?
Today. Yeah, she responded to my post, but I was like, you know me, I don't watch scary stuff.
Yeah. No. So I'm a big fan of the first season, but they're doing this like American Horror Story, where it's like the same cast, but they're playing different people, different haunting thing.
Ugh.
And we're like two episodes in, and it's definitely like creeping me out.
Ugh.
The first season was outwardly creepy. Like by season one, by episode one, you're like, oh god, do I really want to continue watching this? This is kind of like really messed me up.
Ugh.
This is a slower burn, but like you know that there's some other shit coming.
No,
so
thank you.
Check it out. It's good.
No, thank you. I think the world is just the world is already so scary. Why do you want to sit in your living room and get scared?
Yeah.
I will never understand that. Or I'm just, but
it's safe.
I'm just a big scaredy cat. So.
Oh, man. Chris, you catch any of those? The Haunting on?
I have not. No.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Good. It's good stuff. Yeah, and then I mix up with a little chef. John Favreau's got his.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
we've been
love that show.
We've been watching Fargo, and if you guys haven't seen Fargo, or if anyone listening has not seen Fargo, we decided to watch it because of the new season, with Chris Rock. That's out right now. It is a excellent show. Excellent. Talk about like dialogue, acting. It's very stylized. If you guys haven't seen it, watch the first episode. I think I told you guys that last week as well. You're gonna be hooked. It's really good. Shows I'm very excited I started watching this year.
Cool.
All right.
I think we're
I think we're done.
Are we at an end?
Yes.
We are.
All right. Alrighty. So let's go so Aaron can sleep.
Yeah.
And wake up
quite grouchy.
Happy tomorrow. Go to thefanboygarage.com so you can check out our episode archive and our merch store. And, of course, you can join the conversation on the social medias, the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitters, at the Fanboy Garage. And my Twitter is RealCLMighty.
My Twitter, guys, tweet me at @banana_TFG.
Yeah, and if you don't want to follow me or chat with me, you can get at me at @AAronSpeaks. @A_A_RonSpeaks.
Nice, you got it.
Thank you so much for listening and bearing with us on episode 117 of the Fanboy Garage. As always, we appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next week.
You're listening to the Fanboy Garage Podcast.